I'm also full of nervousness. Every time I do this, I get nervous. So, but I'm more full of hope than nerves. Thanks be to God. So there'll be plenty of time. There'll be 30 or 40 minutes this morning to take in worship and in responding to some of the things the Lord speaks to us. There'll be time for the prophetic words. There'll be time for you to get some prayer and receive some ministry from your brothers and sisters and through the Holy Spirit this morning as well. So, yeah, just come into this time as expectant or more expectant than I am. And I've got Rebecca helping me today. Do you want to just stand up, Rebecca, just so that everybody knows who you are? So Rebecca's going to help me today with sorting the prophetic word. And so if you have a prophetic sense that you think is for us as a community, just bring it to her. Come up and sit next to her so that she can write that word down and help me to discern it so that we can respond in a way that's corporately consistent and by his grace in the way that the Lord wants us to respond as well. So I've been praying for this prayer meeting for the last few days, and two scriptures come to mind, which I just wanted to share with you just before JP leads us in worship. I don't know if Marco's found them yet, but don't worry if you haven't. Oh, you have. What a star. Okay, the first scripture is from Matthew 14, verses 29 to 31. It's a passage we're really familiar with. Jesus invites Peter to do something impossible, to walk on the water. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" So Peter responds to the Lord, but then he looks around and he sees the waves. He hears the wind howling, and he's afraid. He was distracted and he was overwhelmed by what surrounded him. Because of him being distracted, he took his eyes off Jesus. And I think as we enter worship today, it's very easy to be overwhelmed by everything that's going on around us. And I just felt like the Lord wanted us to have that picture for our worship as we started, that we need to shake off those things that overwhelm and distract us. And we need to look to the Lord. Where was the Lord standing when Peter was walking towards him? He was right in front of Peter. So he wants us to look at the Lord who is right in front of us and to take heart and to keep our eyes fixed on him. The second passage I got was from 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. And it's a story of God speaking to Elijah in the cave on Mount Sinai in the still small voice. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out, and he stood in the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So I just wanted to rewind a bit and just give a bit of context for how Elijah ended up on that cave in Mount Sinai. If you remember in 1 Kings 18, he just defeated the prophets of Baal, you know, the calling down the fire of the Lord on Mount Carmel. And he'd done that through his faith, through his deep faith in the Lord. And yet he makes an enemy of Queen Jezebel, and Jezebel threatens Elijah's life. And his response to that threat was fear. He was afraid, and so he fled to Horeb. And it says he was in Horeb, and he was feeling pretty sorry for himself. He said, "Take my life, Lord, now, because it's not worth anything." He's lost all his hope. He's in a place of weakness. He's in a place of discouragement, and he's in a place of despair. And frankly, he's worn out. To be able to say something like that to the Lord, you have to be pretty worn out. "Take my life now, Lord, because it's not worth anything." But what does God do in response to that heartfelt prayer? He restores him. He sends an angel, and the angel feeds him not once but twice. And he gives that angel, through that food that Elijah receives, gives him the strength to travel to Mount Sinai. And when he's in the cave, he's able to recognize God's voice because of him being restored by the angel and by the food. And that's what the Lord has for us today, brothers and sisters, in worship. He has restoration for us in worship. He wants to restore us so that we're able to recognize his still small voice, away from the noise and confusion of the winds and the fires and the earthquakes that we hear and see in our lives, and all those other voices that we hear speaking to us. The Lord wants to speak to us today, and he wants to restore us today. So this is what I believe is the Lord's invitation to us as we come into our prayer meeting, as we come into our time of worship, that the Lord has this word for us in our life together. Do not be afraid. Like Elijah, like Peter, do not be afraid, but fix your eyes on me. Allow me to restore you so that you can be attentive to my voice. So let's come into the prayer meeting with that expectation that that's the word of the Lord for us, that he wants to restore us. He wants to speak to us today. He wants us to keep our eyes fixed on him today. So let's stand and let's come into the Lord's presence as we enter into worship.
Glory to you.